game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Oh, boy. All right. Good evening. Welcome in. 8-5, the final score. Royals drop game one of this two-day series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And listen, now you drop two of three to the Boston Red Sox, and now you drop the opener to St. Louis for just the fourth time in 10 homestands. The Royals will have a losing stay at Kauffman Stadium. That's always difficult to stomach when you are one of the best teams at home in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, tough one tonight. And listen, just hearing from Matt Quatrero has calmed me down somewhat. Because I was going to rant about this bullpen usage tonight. But then we find out Hunter Harvey, they were trying to stay away from him as, yeah, he's once again dealing with that back tightness. You know, we've talked about it here. Now, last time we saw Hunter Harvey, it was anything but inspiring. A bumpy ninth inning back on Sunday. Thankfully, he got a big line drive double play to end the threat in that one-run game against the Tigers back on Sunday. So, okay, understanding that Hunter Harvey was not available, okay. I can understand going to Chris Stratton there in a high-leverage spot in the eighth inning. I mean, I was... Now, don't take this the wrong way. I was hoping that there was something going on with Hunter Harvey. He's a great guy. You know what I mean. Just the decision-making to go to Chris Stratton there with two on and one out, clinging to a one-run lead. And yes, I understand that, you know, Stratton can get you a ground ball, right? Unfortunately, a pair of elevated change-ups and... Honestly, he got the double play, and you know what? That to me is now the focus of this 8-5 Cardinals victory, this three-run Royals loss. Let me give you the phone number real quick, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Okay, so Hunter Harvey was basically unavailable tonight with back tightness. Okay. Well, then to me, the game boils down to one moment, one play. And that, I understand, sounds silly, is unfair. And yet, we're 117 games into this season. I think we know this Royals ball club. I've watched every single pitch of every single game. Michael Garcia's got to turn that double play. I understand it was a hot shot, 105 miles per hour off of the bat of Tommy Pham. And listen, it was a split-second difference between Pham's foot hitting first base and the ball hitting the back of Vinny Pasquantino's glove. I mean, it was darn near exactly what Stratton and this team needed, an inning-ending 5-4-3 double play. But the bobble by Garcia ultimately cost them the double play. Four pitches later, it's a two-run double, and a one-run lead turns into a one-run deficit. I understand it's silly to put an entire game on one play, one person. But when I look at this Royals team, which is now 11 games above 500, I'm going back to the discussion earlier today on the On Deck Show about the standard that has been set by the 2024 Royals. Things that when you show up to the ballpark, you can almost guarantee you're going to see. The reasons why this team is 64 up and 53 down is because of the elite Bobby Witt Jr., the elite starting rotation, the elite defense, and the elite base running. And tonight, you know, Bobby goes 0 for 4 with a walk, played an outstanding shortstop. Bobby was still the best player on the diamond. So that standard was met tonight. The base running standard, you saw Dyron Blanco rip yet another bag as he's top 10 in all of Major League Baseball in stolen bases. So the base running, to me, met the standard. The starting pitching did not. 4 1/3 innings of three-run baseball. Now, Michael Lorenzen kept you in the game, so I'm not going to crush him. There's no need to crush him. But this team has not, was not built to look to the bullpen to lead the way to victory. This is a team that wins because of its starting pitching, its defense, its base running, and because the best player on the diamond is always wearing number 7 in royal blue. Tonight, the starting pitcher was not the reason why you won or lost. Tonight, the starting pitcher did not live up to the standard. And the defense did not either. Defense had its moments. Again, Bobby Witt Jr. made a very slick play to finish off the sixth inning for Sam Long. But Mike Helz got to corral that. Got to start that 5-4-3 double play. We've heard Denny Matthews say it for years. It's not the double plays you turn. It's the double plays you do not turn. And tonight, to me, that was the difference in this game. If you want to rain down on the bullpen once again, you go right ahead, man. We're 117 games into this. If you're still allowing the same names in that bullpen to get you upset, man, that's on you. I look at these Royals games waiting for the defense, Bobby, and the starting pitcher to show the way, and tonight they couldn't do it. Royals lose 8-5. Let's go to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're going to start off up in North Kansas City. Tim, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, man. Just an observation I've had for a long time with this team this year is they're swinging at balls out of the strike zone and letting balls come right down the middle and just looking at them. And if you look at how many times that they've done this, that this is how they get behind in the counts. This is how they strike out. Salvi's always been susceptible to the ball low and away and outside the strike zone. I don't understand why the hitting coach doesn't show him this video and say, look, dumbass, you're swinging at a ball in the opposite batter's box and you're letting the ball come right down the middle. Do you need glasses or contacts, or are you going to start swinging at good pitches and spitting on the bad pitches?
So Tim, you realize that. Tim, you realize the Royals have struck out the second fewest in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but they probably walked the second fewest in all of Major League Baseball, too. I understand wanting to put the ball in play, but they're whiffing at balls low and away or in the other batter's box while taking the pitch right down the middle. You saw what the first two batters did for the Cardinals in the ninth inning. He threw it right down the middle. One was a base hit, and the other was a two-run homer. So, I mean, that's the difference. This team could be so much better. We go consistently with a lineup of nine guys, four of them hitting below 240, 230, two of them hitting below two of them hitting below 200. That's
yeah, that's baseball, though. League average is 242.
Well, they should at least hit the league average. Back in the day, if you hit below 250, you were probably on the bench. I remember.
Yeah, well, back in the day, there weren't 30 teams. There weren't 26-man rosters. You know, I mean,
well, but
no matter what I say, it's not. Okay, go ahead.
They can improve their hitting. A walk is like a single. It's going to move anybody.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, man. Yeah. We all know this. The Royals' offense is better than league average. I don't know why you're so down on the offense.
They need to drill it into these kids. This is what they're kids. They're kids. I'm a parent.
No,
I
mean, they're above 18. They could fight for the country. They're young men. How about that?
But as far as the bullpen, Ersig was a great pickup. I wish we could have found more like him. I guess Harvey was going to be that guy, but if he's not available, he's not available. We got some injuries, yes. Why not go two innings with Ersig? I don't know why he's not the closer right now, because I think he's the best guy in the bullpen we have.
So you wouldn't have used him in the seventh inning, Tim? Are you just going to sit here and complain about everything? I mean, do you have any solutions, or is he just whining?
I'm not going to use Ersig in the seventh inning. I think he's a closer.
So who do you use? Okay, again, man, Tim, respectfully, it sounds like you're stuck in baseball about 15, 20 years ago.
Chris Bubich. Use Chris Bubich. He's a starter. He can go two or three innings somewhere.
Well, it seems like you got it all figured out, Tim. I got you down, man. I appreciate the phone call. I got to get some other people in there. I appreciate you having an answer, at least when I asked who you're going to in the seventh. You say Chris Bubich for the top of the St. Louis lineup, holding on to a one-run lead. Okay, I got you down. Personally, I like leverage. And to me, the highest leverage spot in the game was that seventh inning. All right, Royals are up 5-4. You have the top of the St. Louis lineup coming up. If Urseg does his job, he'll hand it off in the eighth inning to the middle of that St. Louis lineup. And then in the ninth inning, it'll be the bottom of that St. Louis lineup. Tim, I appreciate the phone call. I don't understand your being so fixated on the offense. Again, 117 games into the season. If I was to lay before you the five facets of baseball: hitting, starting pitching, relief pitching, defense, and base running. You've watched all 117 games. In order, how do you stack up those facets? What leads this team? The rotation, right? Yes. The defense is the best in baseball. That's got to be number two. Base running's the best in the American League. That's got to be number three. The Royals' offense right now is 12th in baseball in OPS. The batting average. Where do they rank? 8th in batting average. 8th best batting average, Tim. 253 batting average, top 10. Okay, so the offense is the 4th best trait of this team, followed by the bullpen. Okay. I wish they would have brought in more Lucas Urseg's as well. Every team was looking for Lucas Urseg. Be grateful that you got one. And as far as the offense is concerned, man, I like having a team that is built without completely being reliable on the offense. We all agree that the toughest thing to do in sports is hitting a baseball. So why ask that group to carry the heaviest burden? Give me some studs in the rotation, a sure-handed defense, and a team that's aggressive on the base pass, taking that extra 90 feet. That, to me, levels all playing fields. Bring on all would-be opponents. If you can pitch, defend, and run the bases better than the other team, you're going to be in the game late. And that's been the case this season. The Royals have been in well over 75% of their games this season. 913-586-7610. Let's go back to North Kansas City. Tim, getting us going. Let's go to Sonny in North Kansas City. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, boss. Thanks for taking my call, man. I do appreciate it. Listen, I don't want to be like the previous caller, Tim, and no disrespect to him. I don't want to sit here and just, you know, constantly complain. I'm more of a big picture type of guy, okay? I haven't watched all 114 games. I paid attention to most of the season. And the thing I noticed lately, and especially tonight with me sitting down on a Friday night that I'm free, the thing I noticed the most was the bullpen. Yeah, the offense was struggling a little bit, especially Bobby. But, you know, I was excited, I think, along with everybody else in Royals Nation here, to get a Lucas Urseg. And my thought would be, man, why don't we have him closing? You know what I mean? He seems to have these high velocity pitches here. He seems to bring the nasty stuff when it's needed the most. Okay, so you bring in Zerpa to close the game. Now let me just drop a little couple stats here for you. Zerpa,
well, they didn't bring in Zerpa.
Zerpa's last seven games, he's 6 innings pitched, 12 hits, and 8 earned runs. Yeah. All right? I mean,
I'm telling you, they didn't bring in Zerpa to close the game. They were already trailing when they brought in Zerpa.
I get that, but, you know, it's just the bigger picture here for me is it just doesn't feel like Q does not have his thumb on where the bullpen needs to go. And that's the bigger picture. We know what the offense can do. We know Vinny brings it. We know Bobby brings it. We know Garcia's hot for the most part. We know MJ went down and he came back up and he's bringing it. With the bullpen and not even the starting pitching. The starting pitching is decent too. Good for the most part. Better than, you know, most of
MLB.
Great.
Yeah, they've been great.
But the bullpen, I mean, come on, man. Like, listen, I love Q, and I was excited when he came to Kansas City. And, you know, everything that he did down in Tampa Bay, I went back and researched, and I'm like, listen, man, this is going to be something here. And it really is, from the improvement that he did last year to this year. But the overall bigger picture, what I'm saying is the bullpen. And I just feel like he needs to get his thumb on that. And listen, I did not agree with Urcig where he was in that spot. I understand it, but I do not agree with it. I'm going to speak for a lot of people right now on social media.
Well, I couldn't care less. I appreciate the phone call. I couldn't care less what social media has to say. Social media is ignorant at best. But, Sonny, you are not. Great phone call, buddy. Very nice hearing from you. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. The bullpen was asked to carry more innings tonight than the starting pitcher. Does that sound like a formula for success? Getting 4 1/3 innings out of your starter and asking for 4 2/3 out of your bullpen. Not this year. That's not this team. The Royals are now 4-8 in games in which 6 or more pitchers take the hill. This team is built around its rotation, its defense, its base running, and those run producers in the middle. And tonight, the starting pitcher let you down. I'm not defending the bullpen, but this isn't new. Okay, you want Lucas Urcig to be the closer. Well, I got some tough news for you. You're not going to see him very often then. Yeah. In a game like this, you wouldn't have seen him. So, Lucas Urcig, if you're waiting for him to close out a game, he's going to be putting his feet up. Unused. Okay, yeah, you want Bubic to come in the seventh? Fine. Okay, let's say Bubic shuts it down in the seventh. Let's say Bubic did what Urcig did. Well, Will Smith and Chris Stratton are still going to do what they did in the eighth. And then there's no need to go to Urcig in the ninth to close it out because there's nothing to close out. Listen, I understand. Listen, guys, I grew up loving the game as well. Loving the same game that you're still pining for. It's changed. I'm not going to defend Angel Zerpa. Or Chris Stratton. Will Smith. Will Smith left a slider on a tee to Brendan Donovan. Chris Stratton, 2 elevated changeups. Angel Zerpa was throwing BP. I mean, he's zipping it in there at 95 plus, but still, center cut. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. We go to Zach in Kansas City. Zach, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad. I got a thorn and I got a rose for you. I really appreciate your analysis on the bullpen. I agree with you heavily. If Urcig doesn't pitch the seventh, you know, someone's got to. My point that I wanted to bring up is a lot of people, you know, think Q is, quote, mismanaging this bullpen, when in reality, I mean, it's hard to manage it correctly when you don't have a lot of guys you can depend on. So, I mean,
And when there's no Harvey tonight. I mean, that
right.
I was mad in the press box because I thought Harvey was available. Once
exactly.
I find out he's unavailable, okay, yeah, I probably would have gone about it. I still may have gone Bubic over Will Smith, but I understand why he did it.
Right. And, I think we're all aware that, you know, Will Smith has been fairly decent in the past 2 or 3 months. But, again,
sure.
When you have maybe two out of seven, 6 or 7 guys you can depend on in the bullpen, like, you can't really call it mismanagement. You call it not being able to depend on your guys, and that's, you know, we all are aware that's the problem in itself. But other than that, I mean, that play, that double play is literally as close as it can get at first base. We just, you know, it went the way it went, and it turned out to be, you know, as you said, a turning point. And like you said, when we're not flawless on defense, when we're not really good at starting pitching, when Bobby and Vinny don't really contribute, we're not going to win a lot of those games. And that's just the fact of the matter. And that's fine. We're not going to win every game, which brings me to my rose. That's the thorn. So the rose is, you know, most people have probably noticed the Guardians have lost 7 in a row. For the love, thank God. They're single-handedly keeping us in this. We are now only 3.5 back. We're gaining games on them, even though we're not necessarily, you know, blowing out the Cardinals or the Red Sox. But at the very least, and, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and we're going to have another game to play, and we're only going to be 3.5 games out of the division lead, not even the wild card, but the division lead. So, right. You know, bad games happen, as bad as tonight was. You know, everyone in the bullpen's going to have to get another opportunity to, you know, figure it out tomorrow. So I think things are going to be all right.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 45 games to play. The Royals are 3.5 games back of the division leading Cleveland Guardians. 3.5 back with 7 more to play against Cleveland. Not only that, but the Royals, with 45 games to play, they're only 5 games back of having the best record in the American League. We still got so much baseball to be played. And, you know, as far as that Michael Garcia play, again, I'm not down on Michael. He had one of his best offensive nights in months. 2-for-3 with the walk, a pair of runs scored. Michael's hitting .280 since the All-Star break. But if you would have asked me, if you would have just listened to the On Deck show earlier today, you knew, and you should know by now if you listen. Not if you're new, then of course you should know, but when I show up to watch the Royals, starting pitching, defense, base running, I need those three facets to lead me. And the starting pitcher couldn't do it. The defense couldn't do it. So then that puts the onus on, what, the offense and the bullpen? I don't like my chances with the latter. And offensively, your big run producers didn't get very many opportunities to produce runs, as Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, 3 of the finest run producers in the game, both RBI-wise and hitting with runners in scoring position, those three tonight only had 2 chances total combined with runners in scoring position. They went 1-for-2, Salvi's RBI knock in the third. Royals lose 8-5. The phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's go to Mike, who's out in Lawrence. Mike, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for educating everyone. You know, 99%, more than 99% of people out there, Royals starting pitching, defense, base running. That's how they're going to win these games. They don't do that, they're not going to win these games. You give up 6 runs, you're going to lose these games. Sounds right?
That sure does to me. They gave up 8. So, yeah, it's even worse than that.
We didn't get a quality start. That's what we've been bread and butter all season. Bullpen, we'll figure it out, I hope. Fundamentals. Comes down to fundamentals.
Yep. Yeah, well said.
That's all I got.
Mike, I'm with you, man.
Hey, keep schooling the callers. Thank you.
And Mike, appreciate the phone call. I'm not down on the team. Mike's not down on the team. Tomorrow, I'm expecting Michael Wacha to be the best starting pitcher. I'm expecting the Royals to make all the routine plays and occasionally make the spectacular play. I'm expecting the Royals to be the better base running team. And I'm expecting the big three in the middle of the Royals lineup to outperform the big three in the St. Louis lineup. Furthermore, I'm expecting Bobby to clearly be the best player on the diamond. No, I'm anything but, my confidence has been anything but shaken. And that's the beauty of having a ball club that is led by pitching, defense, and team speed. Day in and day out, that stuff delivers. Waka tomorrow. And then it's going to be Singer and Reagans and Lugo in Minneapolis. Bobby's going to be there every day. The defense is going to be there every single day. But like we saw the first two games against Boston, when the Red Sox were the better defensive team, the better base running team, when their starting pitcher outperformed Singer, outperformed Lugo, the Royals are going to lose that game. Maybe this is a news flash to some of you, but the Royals are not a great team. They're a good team, maybe even a very good team. But when you're playing other good teams, other very good teams, your B-minus, C-plus game, not good enough. Oh, you can beat the Tigers and the White Sox with your B-minus, C-plus game. You can beat the dregs of baseball when your starter's just okay and when your defense is just okay. But you want to beat Boston, you want to beat Cleveland, you want to beat the Guardians, the Twins, you want to beat good teams? You got to outplay them. And I don't know about you, but I'm not expecting the Royals to out-bullpen anyone. So how are they going to outplay St. Louis tomorrow? How are they going to outplay the Twins starting on Monday, that three-game series? Well, they're going to do it by the starting pitching, the defense, the base running, and then the big three in the middle. Didn't happen tonight, and you fell short. Now take your pick at what you're upset about. Lorenzen falling short of five innings for just the third time all year. Mike Hell's fumble there on what should have been a 5-4-3 inning-ending double play, finishing off a scoreless eighth inning, and the Royals handing over a one-run lead to the ninth. You could be disappointed in the starter and the defense. You could be disappointed in the fact that Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi just didn't say, you know what, get on my back. I'm carrying us. But getting upset about the bullpen when you know that Hunter Harvey wasn't available, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. The bullpen has been the weak link on this team since spring training. And now we're going to act like, oh, it should have been fixed? It's been busted for a minute. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Jackson was at Kauffman Stadium tonight. He was one of more than 34,000 to walk through the gates. Jackson, what do you think?
Okay, I'm going to be the first one to do it, just behind you a minute ago. But Lorenzen kept us in the game for what it was worth, you know. The Royals' starting pitching has had a trend to be shaken up and throw 15-plus pitches in the first inning, but it happens. But anyway, my solution, I hate hearing 12U coach dads coming on here and complaining about the bullpen with no solution. So here's my solution, Vern. Okay. I send Zerpa to Omaha for a couple weeks, have him come back mid-September. I bring in Marsh for a seventh inning and eighth inning guy. I see why people are saying Lucas Urshage should be the start or the closer. I think he should be an inning and two-thirds guy. That's my opinion. Let me know what you think.
Well, so just like a two-inning guy, because inning and two-thirds, two innings, what it's the same thing. It's go to the dugout and then you come back out.
But that just means
you won't be able to use them back-to-back days. So that's up to you. You know,
that's fair.
Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean he's certainly capable. I mean, most of these guys are capable of going multiple innings. But yeah, you run Urshage back out there for the eighth. You likely don't have him tomorrow. I'm not saying that one's better than the other. You just have to decide which you prefer. Using a guy three out of every 4 days, back-to-back days, or using a guy twice every 6 days. 913-586-7610. Royals lose 8-5. We'll head inside that Royals clubhouse coming up in a moment. But first, back to the phone calls. Gage, downtown Kansas City. Gage, what's happening, buddy?
Vern, how's it going?
All right, man. How you doing?
I was at the game tonight, and man, it sucks losing to the Cardinals. I hate that. And I walked out of Kauffman tonight kind of feeling like I might be on the more pessimistic side of the fan base tonight. But that first caller kind of proved me wrong. And I'm not willing to tolerate slander on the captain tonight. You know, Salvi was just selected to an all-star team. He's been having a fine year. He even had an RBI on the night. I know that
he's awesome.
The majority of the fan base isn't upset with Salvi, but I wasn't going to let that slide. As far as Ursig and the bullpen situation goes, I think you hit the nail on the head. If you want Ursig to pitch the ninth, then somebody has to take the top of the lineup in the seventh, and I don't really know who I want doing that because I don't really trust anybody outside of Ursig and Sam Long. So I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll listen off air.
Yeah, appreciate it. Sam Long made an appearance as well. He paid for that one-out walk in the sixth inning. It came around to score a few batters later. So, yeah, Long gave up an earned run. Chris Stratton's, Will Smith teamed up to give up a pair. Angel Zerpa gave up a pair. I'll tell you this, man. I appreciate you calling up to defend the captain. It is... See, I'm not trying to dump on some fans. But I remember 2013, 2014, 2015 doing this show, and I... You know, when young baseball fans would call up in 14 and 15 and, you know, act as if this is the worst thing that's ever happened, I would often call them new money fans because it was so clear that they didn't grind through 2006 with you. They didn't grind through 2001 and 2005. Oh, my God, 2005. Now, there were a lot of people that hopped on the bandwagon in 14 and 15 and acted like they went through the misery that so many of you went through in the late 90s and throughout the aughts. Well, here we are a decade later, and man, I swear we have a lot of new money Royals fans coming back to the yard that weren't here in 14 and 15, that were maybe just babies in 14 and 15. But yeah, to me, when people call up and try to slander the captain, they're exposing themselves, at least they are to me, that they're new to the town, new to the team, or new to the game. Salvi's been swinging at that slider low and away his entire life. And the RBI single that you reference, the knock that put the Royals up tied the game up at three in the third. That was a sweeper off the plate that Salvi ripped into left field to plate Michael Massey. Salvi, by the way, has 21 RBIs in his last 25 games, and he's hitting .364 with runners in scoring position. Salvi, top 10 in baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. I mean, Salvi, if he's done anything this season, it is start to see his Hall of Fame candidacy begin to solidify. Now, you're hearing people outside of Kansas City talk about the captain as if it's a foregone conclusion that he'll end up in Cooperstown. That was not the case at this time last year. Salvi, even despite a 1-for-4 performance tonight, Salvi still hitting .280 with an OPS north of 800. He's having a fantastic season. Royals also having a fantastic season. A disappointing loss tonight. 8-5 the final score. If you're on hold, stay right there. It's a quick timeout. We're back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
By the time that inning would end, it would be knotted up at three apiece as Michael Massey would hit an RBI single. Just smacked a hanging curveball to center field. That made it 3-2 St. Louis. And then Salvi with two outs, a first pitch sweeper off the dish. He pulls it into left to tie the game up at three apiece. Royals would take the lead in the bottom of the fourth inning An RBI double from Michael Garcia as he yanks one into left. It scores MJ Melendez. And then Michael Massey plates Michael Garcia with a sac fly. 5-3 Royals at the end of four. That score would remain until the sixth. Sam Long gives one back, but the Royals are still hanging on to a 5-4 lead. That's until the eighth inning. Will Smith comes in. Leadoff double to Brendan Donovan. Two batters later, some questionable calls, but nonetheless, it's a four-pitch walk, and Will Smith's night is done. First and third with one out, they go to Chris Stratton. He got his inning-ending double play, but Michael Garcia fumbled the hot shot off of the bat of Tommy Pham, and they only get one. Four pitches later, the nine-hitter in the Cardinals lineup rips one to right field, scoring two, putting the Redbirds ahead. They would tack on two more in the ninth and win this one 8-5, your final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. A nice night, though, from Kyle Isbell, 2-for-4, second multi-hit game since the All-Star break. Let's go back to the phone calls. Dave in Overland Park. Dave, I appreciate you hanging on, buddy. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just, wondering about if you thought that we missed or they really haven't come through some of the guys that we've acquired, mainly the pitchers that we've acquired, like, what's his name, Hunter Harvey. I mean, it seems like he's failed more times than he's come through, but I could be wrong. And even Lorenzen. It's just like we go out and try to get some of these guys that are big names maybe, and they not sure that they're coming through. And maybe we missed on our scouting. I don't know.
Thanks for the phone call, Dave. I don't think so. Doesn't mean I'm right, but Michael Lorenzen has made two starts. The first one was very good, 5 2/3 innings of one-run baseball. I'll take that. Today, 4 1/3 innings of three-run baseball. That's nothing to write home about. Kept you in the game, sure. But below average. Right? He had one good outing, one below average outing. I'll call it a push. Let's see what he does against his former mates in Cincinnati coming up next weekend. Hunter Harvey did not pitch tonight. He was unavailable as he's once again dealing with back tightness. That is concerning. But Hunter Harvey has what, one blown save? And honestly, his last two outings, I'm wondering how healthy he really was. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that's a questionable move just because of health. He was healthy when you acquired him. But I'd still say he's been if he's banged up, I can't call him a net positive, but he's not a free agent at the end of this season. I certainly wouldn't call that a bad move. Okay, so that's Lorenzen. You said the pitchers have let him down. Lorenzen, Harvey, and then Lucas Urseg. I know you're not disappointed in that dude. Five games, he's thrown five innings, he has six strikeouts, he's allowed one base runner, and he hasn't given up a run. So no, you know what? I think scouting-wise, they actually did very well. Urseg has highest of leverage stuff written all over him, and I mentioned five games. Each of the last four games, they've been the highest of leverage moments. You've only gone to Lucas Urseg when the game's on the line. And he's come through every single time. I know you want him doing it in the ninth. You want it to be a typical closer. I want him on the mound in the biggest moments late in the game. That's where he's been each of his last four appearances, and he's put up a zero each and every time. So, yeah, small sample size first and foremost to make any sort of grand judgments on the trade deadline just yet. But if you're looking for one, it's been more good than bad. Thanks for the phone call, Dave. Let's go to Cody, who's out in the Ozarks. Cody, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, don't hang up the phone, but I am a Cardinals fan. But I got the privilege of getting to catch the game at Kauffman tonight. And nice. It was I think it was one of the best baseball games I've gotten to see in person, regardless of who I'm cheering for.
How come?
It was just, I thought that it was very electric, and I don't know, just, but I also really enjoy going to baseball games, and sure. I think I've been to Kauffman maybe as much as I've been to Busch, as crazy as that is, and for some reason, I love Kauffman Stadium and the atmosphere there. But my question was, I just wanted to know your perspective on if there was any other certain moments that the Cardinals just did better, other than the bobble that, you know, could have been a routine double play there that led to so much more. You know, other than the Cardinals obviously getting more hits and more runs, what do you think was, like, the changing points that really just shot that momentum through the roof?
Thanks for the phone call. Honestly, the thing I was going to focus on, if Mikel Garcia, to me, my vantage point, it comes down to that Mikel Garcia missed double play in the eighth. Things could have gotten out of hand early on. You know, I thought Brendan Donovan should have scored on Paul Goldschmidt's opposite field double in the first inning. Now, Cardinals scored two in the first, and I'm sure you and the rest of the St. Louis fans were, you know, very happy to be up 2-0 after one. It should have been 3-0. I thought poor base running by the Cardinals cost him a run right there. So I'm sitting, even though that the Royals were trailing after the first, I still felt good because a facet of the game where I knew the Royals reigned supreme, I thought would ultimately bear out in the final score. The fact that the base running of St. Louis left a run on the board, I thought that that would be offset later on in the game when the Royals' base running takes that extra 90 feet that ultimately leads to an additional run. Unfortunately, the other facet that I'm always intently watching is that Royals' defense, and they couldn't make a play that I've seen them make dozens of times. Was there a moment where I went, oh, this game's over? Yeah, I mean, Contreras' 424-foot blast in the ninth inning off of Angel Zerpa when you saw whatever confidence he has leave his body on the mound. I mean, just, you saw his shoulders slump, and just, oh man, he was toast after that. An automatic ball four to the next batter, and then he gives up a rope single to Brendan Donovan. Yeah. But no, man, this is because I've watched every one of these Royals games. Man, I'm not quick to write this team off. They've earned that. So, no, there wasn't a moment where I went, oh, my God, oh, Royals, you screwed it up. Oh, now all the momentum is in the St. Louis dugout. Now, I never felt that. Again, outside of after that double play that wasn't turned in the eighth. Cody, nice hearing from you. And Cardinals fans, you're always welcome. Especially when Royals fans can look down at you in the standings. Right, Royals are still four games up on the Cardinals in the standings. Then you look at the run differential, and it's like 130 runs different. I can't believe they're still in it, to be quite honest with you. Let's go to Steven in Midtown. Steven, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey. Thank you for letting me get in on the radio.
Yes, sir.
It was a perfect storm. The Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby didn't hit, and the starting pitching didn't stand up. But one thing I wanted to make a point with, Salvi and I believe Will Smith are about the same age, right? Salvi is still very productive. Will Smith is not. I honestly think his arm is done. He says to the coach, put me where you need me. I don't think it needs to be in the uniform. I think his arm is done because major league hitters wait for the mistake. Now, Zerpa is young. He makes young mistakes. He tries to just blow by everybody down the center cut, and it's not going to happen. And some of the other guys are young, but Will Smith just doesn't seem like he has what he used to have anymore. Well, and sometimes it's just time.
He's been rolling of late, though. I mean, and you may know this, and I'll let you finish. Okay, he has like an ERA of 1.5 since the end of April.
Yeah, but then when it's like feast or famine, either he's okay or he's getting rolled. They're just really hitting him hard. I just think it might be time. He might be a trade piece or just say goodbye.
No, you ain't trading him. No, you know, he's on a 1-year, $5 million deal. You just give him some money and he goes home.
Yeah, it reminds me of Jeff Francoeur. I like Francoeur.
Oh, everybody loves Frenchie.
Time.
Yeah.
It's just
no, I got you. Here's what I'll say. Steven, I appreciate the phone call. Now, Will Smith has been rolling of late, right? Since the All-Star break, 7 scoreless frames across 7 games. He's put up a 0 in 27 of his last 31 appearances prior to tonight. But if you go and look at those 31 appearances, not very many of them are high leverage, where the Royals are up and he's trying to maintain that lead. Honestly, I think it's like twice. I think tonight was like his second, we have a lead, a close game late in the game. I think tonight was like the second high leverage spot for Will Smith in the past month, 2 months. And he left a slider on a tee to Brendan Donovan. Even Paul Goldschmidt rocketed that ball to the right side. So two batters in, there's already a man on third. The tying run on third with only one out. And then he goes to battle with the Pajes kid. And the first two pitches, man, those look borderline. Will Smith did not get either call, and he's in the hole 2-0. Ultimately walks him, and that ends his day. Let me say this. The way you feel, Steven, about Will Smith is how I feel about Chris Stratton. Unfortunately, Chris Stratton is also due money next year. A player option this offseason that I have to imagine he's going to pick up. Will Smith does not have any money coming his way next year. It's easy to get rid of Will Smith. It's a little bit more difficult to get rid of Chris Stratton. And to me, Stratton's the one that should be, opening up the locker to see the tag, the red tag that we all remember from Major League. Let's go to Chase and Shawnee. Chase, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, thanks for taking my call again. Yep. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. You know, I could talk about the bullpen, but I kind of want to keep it positive again. Where I want to give credit to the boys for fighting, coming back down 3. And even in the 9th, I mean, we brought the tying run to the plate. Who knows what happens? Vinny's hot. I don't want to bring it back in the bullpen, but I want to call on one of them to step up. It seems night after night, it seems to come down to them in a tough situation, and I want them to succeed. And I want to see one of them step up and make it happen. I love these boys. They continue to fight. We got a lot of baseball left to play. We win it tomorrow. We're right back in it. And, put one of those guys back out there in the pen and let them do it.
You're going to have to. You use 6 of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, again, I think this call comes down to the boys were fighting tonight and just like they always do. Even in the 9th, they came back and had a chance at the end.
But that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing, Chase. I appreciate it. For most of the season, I'm quick to dismiss that type of praise for fighting until the end. You're a professional making a lot of money, living out your dream. I'm not giving you credit for going hard until the end. And now we've got the pitch clock. You're out there for 3 hours. You can hustle down the line. You can battle until the 27th out. I mean, who on this team has earned the right to lollygag late when your team is down? Salvi has, sure. But that's it. And Salvi's not going to do that. So I'm not giving the guys credit for fighting. I'm sorry, I'm not. Listen. I'll acknowledge that they are a resilient bunch. I'm not going to fight you on that, even though I tried early on in the season, but then it became just undeniable. This team's never-say-die attitude is special. No doubt about it. Right there, I believe, tied with the Mets for the most comeback victories in Major League Baseball. But I'm not giving them credit for fighting. Salvi, Vinny, Bobby, Massey, Renfro, these guys don't want credit for battling until the end. That's their job. Chase, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but they don't need it. They'll be back at it tomorrow, like you said. I'll be expecting them to win. Michael Wacha on the hill going opposite Andre Pallante. 6:10 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock. Let's go to Justine in Gladstone. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. I've called a few times this season. I've been to 18 of the games at home. So I feel like I show up and I show out. And to say I'm disappointed tonight would be an accurate statement. But whoever said Salvi is at fault or whatever, I missed the beginning because I was watching Shaq on the field. But they can kick rocks because Salvi is the captain and Salvi is the heart of this team. And I heard it a few segments ago, and I just wanted to say, no, you're not a Royals fan if you think Salvi is to blame for any part of this loss tonight. With that, I just want to say, you know, we are still with it, right? We didn't lose any ground on Cleveland. Yeah. And so we're two down from the Twins, but we're still in it. We're there, and so keep showing up, keep showing out, and we're going to see October ball. So keep coming out, and we're going to get a win tomorrow. That's all I got to say tonight, Vern, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I hope so. Great stuff. Yeah, you're showing up like that at the ballpark. You know this team as well as anybody, Justine. Appreciate it. Royals on pace to win 89 games this season. And the Cleveland lost twice today, so you did. You gained a half a game despite the loss. Royals are 3.5 games back of the division lead. Y'all were losing your minds about the third wild card spot as if that's anything to brag about. Oh, we have the third wild card spot. Oh, yeah. Well, come on. Third wild card spot could be gone in the blink of an eye. Eyes on the prize. 3.5 back of Cleveland in the American League Central. Justine, thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to Austin in Lawrence. You're next up on the postgame show.
Hey, Vern. Just want to say here about how many runs do you think it takes to win a Major League Baseball game?
Well, I need you to turn your radio down, and I think it takes, give me 4 runs.
Okay, so since the beginning of the month, we have scored 5 runs in all but one game, and we're 4-4. So I don't.
How many quality starts you have in that mix?
I don't want to harp on the bullpen. And
how many quality starts do you have in that stretch? When does this stretch begin that you're talking about?
Since the beginning of the month, we're 4-4, and since August, and we're 4-4.
And you think you think that's on the bullpen?
I think if you put up 5 runs in a game,
you got 3 quality starts this month.
You know,
and you think this bullpen? I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. I don't want to hear it. Thanks for the phone call. What have you guys been watching? You think this team got to 64-53 because of the bullpen? I mean, you know the statistics, don't you? We've talked about it almost nightly. Can you believe this? The Royals have received a quality start in 50% of their games. Oh my gosh. You know, all throughout April, all throughout May, all throughout June, all throughout July. Can you believe this rotation? Now, top 3 in baseball in innings pitched. Top 3 in baseball in quality starts. Top 3 in baseball in ERA. The rotation, man, how good were they in April and May and June and July? Outstanding. Yeah. But now it's the bullpen's fault that they're struggling in August? The rotation has given you three quality starts this month. You got 4 1/3 tonight from Lorenzen. Reagans has a quality start. Waka has one quality start. And Seth Lugo has one quality start. Listen, if you expected the bullpen to carry 4+ innings nightly, well, then I don't know what you've been watching. Especially when you factor in the fact that Hunter Harvey was not available tonight. You thought, with the other 7 relievers, that those guys would be able to pick up 4 2/3 innings? And you think they're going to do that consistently? No, this is a team that begins and ends in the rotation. Austin, I'm sorry, man. I apologize for that, but I could just see where it was going. You know, you're all proud of your stat. The bullpen was bad. Yes, it's been bad in August. I'm not going to front. You know what, though? It was bad in April, May, June, July. Come on. Where's Shaq at? Is he still out there? No? I want to get Shaq on the show. All right, let's take a quick timeout. I'm going to try to go get Shaq on the show. We'll get back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
That's the great Ryan Lefevre, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. That lead would swell to 5-3 Kansas City as Michael Massey would smack one to deep center field, scoring Michael Garcia. 5-3 Royals after 4. It'd be 5-4 Royals after 6. But 2 runs come in to score in the 8th, 2 more in the 9th, and the Royals fall 8-5 to the Cardinals, dropping game 1 of this 2-game set, this back leg of the I-70 series here in 2024. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. I mentioned Michael Massey's sack fly in the 4th. Massey with a 3-hit night tonight, 3-for-4 with a pair of RBI. Michael's hitting .375 here in the month of August. Let's head back to Overland Park and talk with Mike. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Hey, man, thanks for running therapy for us on nights like tonight. You're the real champ. You know, you've been through the thick and through the thin with us. So I appreciate what you do.
Well, thanks for calling, man.
Man, thanks for having me. So these nights are the nights where you just got to take a deep breath and just pull up the standings and visually digest that it's like August 9th. It's the 9th, right? I think. Anyways.
Yes.
11 games over. Like you said, we gained ground. And I don't know, man. The highs and the lows of this game, right? And that's why these guys are professionals.
Yep.
They're going to flush it. Yep. And they're going to come back tomorrow. But you mentioned starting pitching has and always will be the currency of baseball. And we got that unit. And we're going to get to the 7th inning with that unit more times than not, you know?
So far, so it's have, like, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so knowing that, I think we have the pieces. And disagree if you want. I just feel like Urshag needs to be on the – he needs – I don't know. When I watched him early in the week against the Red Sox throw 100 with movement, I'm like, man, that's kind of, you know. And so mix and match how you will. And, I mean, I'm not going to be an armchair, like, coach. Like, Q knows what he's doing, but I just feel like that guy, I don't know, we acquired him. I don't know. What are your thoughts on him being closer? And I know we have the pieces to mix and match. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from, Mike. I appreciate the phone call. Listen, is he the best reliever in the bullpen? I believe so, yes. That we all agree on that. Those that are screaming for Urshag to be the closer, you say that because you believe he's the best reliever. I agree with you. But I want my best reliever getting the most important outs. Sometimes, yeah. Out number 25, 26, and 27, those are the most important outs. But if Soto, Judge, and Stanton are coming up in the eighth, and then it's Bozo set up in the ninth, I would rather Urseg go after Soto, Judge, and Stanton and let take your pick go after the Bozos at the bottom of the lineup. So that's what Matt Quatrero has done with Lucas Urseg. Tonight, with his team clinging to a one-run lead and the number one, two, and three hitters coming to the dish, the All-Stars coming to the plate, Q went to his best relievers, or his best reliever. And Urseg got the job done. He put up a zero. And now it's the bottom of the lineup coming up. You can let your next best relievers handle that. Now, you didn't have Hunter Harvey, or else I think Chris Bubich comes out in the eighth, and then Harvey closes it down in the ninth. But because you didn't have Harvey, Q was planning on using Chris Bubich in the ninth, because in the ninth inning, they would once again face that top of the lineup. And he was going with Will Smith in the bottom of the eighth inning as they face, or excuse me, in the top of the eighth inning as they face the bottom of the St. Louis lineup. So we all agree Lucas Urseg is the best reliever. I think what we disagree about is I want him used in the highest of leverage, and many of you only want him used in the ninth inning. So tonight, you would have had Chris Bubich in the seventh. Hopefully he fared as well as Lucas Urseg. Hopefully. No guarantee, but let's say he did. You're still going to Will Smith in the eighth, and Lucas Urseg never appears in the game. So it's just differing philosophies. Now, Q is more modern, more of this century. And being tied to, it's not the ninth inning. It's not a safe situation. We don't bring you in. That's more of the previous century. But it's baseball. You can't say which side's right. We all have our beliefs, and, you believe you're right, I believe I'm right. Let's go up to St. Joe and talk with Xavier. You're on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going, Vern? Thanks for taking my call. A couple of things. I just want to say for the caller earlier that was saying that he was at the stadium and how the atmosphere is electric, and it really was out there at the stadium. It kind of brought me back to 2015 postseason. And even in the ninth inning, down three, when Massey and Wick got on, you almost thought something big was about to happen with Vinny.
Heck yeah.
But going kind of piggybacking on what you say with Urseg, I think he's used right. I think he's doing a good job with him getting in high leverage situations. And, I see on social media and on Twitter about Q's management seeing how he's using the bullpen. At the end of the day, people got to step up. People got to get out. People got to, when you're coming in the 7, 8, 9 in the lineup and, the nine hitters hitting under 200, get out of the inning. I know Garcia could have got out of the inning himself. He didn't bobble it. But, Stratton, put out the fire, get out the inning. But at the end of the day, we didn't lose any ground on Guardians. Boston still lost. Let's take care of business tomorrow. And then we got the off day Sunday. Let Guardians and Twins beat up on each other the next 2 days. And then take care of business in Minnesota starting Monday. Appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you placing it. I agree with your overall point. Players are the ones that make plays. No doubt about it. But I have more faith in Michael Garcia's glove than I do in the command of Chris Stratton. I need Garcia to make that play. I'm not, personally, just me, I'm not saying this is how the Royals feel, but I was surprised that Stratton got his inning-ending double play. I did not think he would come through. I didn't. But I certainly thought Mikel would come through. I thought he would field that hot shot cleanly and start an inning-ending 4-3 double play. Turn things over to Chris Bubich in the ninth as he hopefully would have picked up his save. But Mikel didn't make the play, Stratton didn't make the pitch, and the Royals did not pick up the win. And yeah, there you go. Second or third caller to mention the electricity in the building tonight. I was sitting next to the great Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star, and he mentioned, man, this has given me, you know, 2014, 15, 16 vibes, the electricity in here tonight. And, you know, when he said it, it was the first time I heard it tonight, and I was kind of taken aback because, to be honest with you, tonight, the noise, the electricity, I mean, it was good. I don't know if it was one of the five or seven best atmospheres I've felt this season. That's not a knock on the 34,000 in the building tonight. That's a whole heap of praise on Royals fans throughout this season. Because I've seen a crowd of 24,000 sound just as loud as this crowd tonight of 34,000. So that's great that this was, in your eyes and ears, 2015-esque. Because to me, this was just another Friday night at the K. How cool is that? 913-586-7610. Dave was one of the 34,000 in the building. Dave, what's your takeaway from this 8-5 Royals loss?
Yeah, Vern, I appreciate you taking my call. A little hoarse from yelling at the umpires. But
hell yeah, I like it.
But yeah, I mean, my takeaway is still putting up five with Bobby Witt going 0-for-4. That's a solid, you know, solid five runs. And then MacArthur and Ursig doing what they need to do. You know, you look at the bigger picture, like all the other callers have been saying, still sitting well in the standings in the wild card. So, you know, that's all I have, just trying to shed a little positivity. But as always, I really appreciate you, my friend.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, Dave. And, man, we've gone this deep into the show, and no one, myself, most importantly, has not mentioned James MacArthur. I appreciate you doing that, Dave. How about the general? A three-run game, a three-run deficit, sure. But he comes in with the bases juiced and one out. Again, I understand the Royals are down by three, but I've seen this team overcome a three-run deficit in the ninth inning before. And with the top of the lineup due up in the bottom of the ninth inning, I didn't think this was over. Now, I didn't feel good when Zerpa came out of the game and left the bases juice for James MacArthur. I didn't think that the Royals would come back in the ninth because I didn't think it would remain a three-run deficit. I thought that deficit would grow. But a pair of punch-outs for James MacArthur, a pair of punch-outs looking. Tommy Pham staring at a sinker at 94, and then the nine-hitter just watches a curveball go by. A nice job, a nice 12-pitch, two-batter, two-out frame from James MacArthur. Hey, one more point about Lucas Ursig. I mentioned the high leverage. I explained the high leverage situation tonight, but you can go to his previous three outings before this. I'll just go back to Wednesday's game. Royals facing the Red Sox lineup. Top of the lineup due up, and the Royals hanging on to a four-run lead. But all-stars and big bats due up. Ursig, five up, five down. He goes an inning and two-thirds. But then, of course, you have a day off the next day, so he's not used. Prior to that, we saw Lucas Ursig In his third game with the Royals. That came Saturday against the Detroit Tigers. It's a 1-1 game in the eighth inning. Excuse me, a 3-1 Royals lead in the eighth inning, and the 2-3-4 hitters are due up. Eighth inning, it's not a save situation, but you're up by two, and the best bats are due up. Go to your best arm. Ursig faces those three batters and retires them, needing just nine pitches. Before that, his debut with the team, okay, I'll give you that. That was not a high leverage spot. But the other option, you know, the fourth game in which he pitched, I know he recorded only one out, but he came in with two on and two outs, and the Royals clinging to a one-run lead. He's facing the RBI guy in that Detroit lineup. So again, Lucas Ercig has made five appearances this season with the Royals. The first was his debut, and they eased him in a seven-run lead. But since then, all four appearances have been in the highest leverage moments late in the game. Let's go to Melanie in Overland Park. Melanie, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about how slow Hunter Renfroe looked today. I mean, he didn't even bat that well, and whenever a ball was hit to him, he just looked very, very slow and lost us many runs.
Oh, well, I don't know what to say to that. I appreciate the phone call, Melanie. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, I mean, someone did bring that up in the press box, or at least wonder. I think it was the Paul Goldschmidt double to right. Yeah, I don't know. It was that Goldschmidt double to right. Yeah, because Donovan should have scored because Renfroe kind of botched it. But I do not think he should have caught that on the fly. Yeah, Hunter Renfroe's not the most fleet of foot. No, he's a slugger. He's an extra base guy. He's a, let me show off this cannon right arm that I have, but he's been a fine defensive right fielder. I'm not saying he's been great, but he certainly hasn't been bad. And no, again, yeah, he's not a speedster out there. Well, don't expect that to happen anytime soon, Melanie. No, you just hope that Renfroe's able to run into what his track record has been, and that is a guy that's going to give you 40, 50 extra base hits every single season, and he's on pace to come pretty close to that. Royals lose 8-5. The bullpen needs to record more outs than the starter did. Yeah, Michael Lorenzen only went 4 1/3 innings. 3 runs on 6 hits, a pair of walks, 3 strikeouts. It could have been worse if Brendan Donovan would have been a better base runner. But nonetheless, Lorenzen gives up 2 runs in the first inning after he walks the first batter that he faces, and then 2 batters later. Honestly, I'll tip my cap to Wilson Contreras on that one. That first inning opposite field home run. Lorenzen was feeding him a steady diet of pitches away. All 6 pitches were on the outside part of the plate. And finally, the all-star catcher just went with a fastball on the outside half and drove it the other way for a 2-run first inning home run. The next run allowed, the final run allowed tonight by Michael Lorenzen, was a leadoff home run in the 3rd inning by Alec Burleson. Lorenzen just missed with a curveball. He was trying to go low and away. He went low and in, and that's the nitro zone to lefties. And Burleson unloaded that nitro 108 miles per hour off of the bat as it rockets over the right field wall. And just like that, it was 3-0 St. Louis. But the boys would put 3 on the board in the bottom half to take Lorenzen off the hook. He doesn't factor in the decision. The loss goes to Will Smith. He's 0-4. Let's hear what Michael Lorenzen had to say after the game, courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City.
Didn't hit a ton of mistakes. Didn't hit good pitches. But for me to go, 4 1/3, it's unacceptable for me. I need to do a better job for the bullpen. Our offense did an incredible job and fought back. And so, like I said, for me to just give that short of an outing, it's unacceptable, so I need to do better.
What led to maybe some of the longer at-bats that I think you were almost at 90 pitches by the time you were taken out?
Yeah, just good foul balls. I think there were a lot of foul balls there. And that was it. They put up some good at-bats. And you're just hoping to generate either weak contact or a miss, and they just kept fouling pitches off. Mm-hmm.
Was there mislocations on the Burleson and Contreras homers?
No. Those are good pitches.
Were you trying to go where you where the, those pitches went.
Yeah.
So they just they were on.
Yeah.
Do you how do you balance that when you know they just take some pretty good swings off of you and that's where you wanted to go?
It's just part of the game. You can make good pitches and you know they can still hit it. They have a bat in their hand and you can make bad pitches and they can hit. You know, line drives right at people. You know, I threw a sinker right down the middle, a two-strike sinker, and it was a missile right to Bobby, I think. So it's just baseball. The game's not perfect, and that's why, you know, we love the game so much because it's just, it's not a computer, you know, like we all like to think it is. And yeah, it's just baseball. Some things happen that you wouldn't expect, and yeah, just the way it goes.
There you go, Michael Lorenzen, following his second outing with the boys in blue, his first at home, rocking the City Canucks. Again, Lorenzen tonight made his 20th start of the season. It's just the third time he's failed to go five innings. Royals also did not hit a home run. It's been a while. Snaps a 13-game streak of hitting home runs. Second longest home run streak in Royals franchise history. Man, text line blowing up. I want to get to a few of these text messages. My text line on my own personal phone blowing up as well. Got people laughing at us in the Twin Cities. Twins fans are looking down at us in the standings and they're laughing at some of your phone calls on the postgame show. Come on, guys, clean it up. We got division rivals listening to us. And you've heard how CDOT does it, right? He listens to other teams' postgame shows and you know grabs their goofy callers and then they all laugh at him on the drive. They're doing that to us in the Twin Cities right now. Royals suffer their 27th blown lead loss of the season. All right, so let's go to the text message. 913-586-7610. John in Olathe. Vern, we could go from a good to great offense by taking more walks. I'm excited to see Michael Wacha tomorrow. All right, we have John in Mission. John. John wants us to stop calling Cleveland the Guardians and go back to their old name. John, come on, man. Right now, that's... Katie in North Carolina. Katie writes in, Vern, Zerpa in the ninth, no Bubich. I love Q, but I don't get this one. Well, I was with you. You know, I was with you until you find out after the game that Hunter Harvey, they were trying to stay away from him as he's once again dealing with back tightness, which is concerning. Because I honestly was going to start the show in a very bad mood. I don't know how you go to Chris Stratton instead of Hunter Harvey there in the eighth. But okay, yeah. Oh, so you're telling me that Harvey wasn't available? Okay, that makes sense. And you're saving Bubich because you're going to him for the top of the lineup in the ninth inning? That makes sense. I mean, ideally, it was going to be Urseg in the seventh. Will Smith shuts down the Cardinals' bottom half of the lineup in the eighth, and then Bubich comes out in the ninth. Katie, always appreciate you listening. Kathy in L.A. wants all of you to calm down. good luck, Kathy. You know that. You know how it goes. Scott in Phoenix says we need six innings tomorrow from Michael Wacha. No doubt about that. No. And you know who knows that? Michael Wacha. Going opposite the Cardinals? Oh, I can't wait for that. Andy in Midtown. Vern, I know we're only three back of Cleveland for the division, but it's frustrating to lose games that you know you should win. Terrible bullpen management. Let's go get them tomorrow. But here's the thing, Andy. You say it's frustrating to lose games you know you should win and beat teams you know you should beat. Well, let me ask you this. Who shouldn't they beat? Who should they beat? Who do you say, oh, well, we can't beat them. I mean, I hope we can beat them once. Who do you have that attitude about? Because personally, I don't think that about any opposing team. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Orioles. If any of those teams come to Kauffman Stadium, I expect the Royals to win 2 of 3. You've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, right? You took care of a first-place team in Milwaukee. So, yeah, that's what happens when you have a really good rotation in elite defense and elite base running is you're going to be in most games. You're going to feel like you have a chance to win every single night because you do. Because Waka and Lugo and Singer and Reagans and Marsh and hopefully Lorenzen. These guys have given you a chance to win 90% of your games this year. So almost every loss is painful because there was a point in almost every loss where you go, man, that should have been ours if we make that play. If we get that knock, this game would have been ours. Andy, always nice hearing from you though, bud. Few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, the problem tonight was the starter only went 4 1/3. This bullpen is going to struggle when they have to pitch 5 innings. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Appreciate you joining us. That's really been my message throughout tonight's show. And it was very similar to my message after that Saturday game in Detroit where way too many of you went off the deep end. The 11-inning, one-run loss on the road that so many of you found inexcusable. Now, I'm not saying you, Andy, but I saw a lot of text messages, heard a lot of phone calls after that loss in Detroit of people saying, Vern, oh my God, these games are frustrating when we lose to teams that I know we should beat. See, if you look at this, if you look at these games, you'll start to see a common thread, trend. Starting pitching. We're 117 games into the season. The Royals have used 6 or more pitchers 12 times. They used 7 pitchers tonight. I would venture to guess that they've used this many pitchers in a game 3, maybe 4 times all year. Royals are 4-8 in games in which they use 6 or more pitchers. I mean, I wish it wasn't simple, but it's been the story now for 4 months. Starting pitching, defense, and base running. That's where this team excels. And we could throw in hitting with runners in scoring position. We could talk about the run producers in the middle, sure. But it begins on the mound, defensively, and on the base paths. And when on the mound, when your starting pitcher is putting a majority of the game on the bullpen, what do you expect is going to happen? And don't give me, oh, well, our bullpen should be better. I just told you the rotation's elite. The base running's elite. The defense is elite. The offense is better than league average. You have the best offense when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, and the middle of your lineup is elite. And you want to tell me that that one squeaky wheel coming off a 106-loss team is inexcusable? You need to check yourself. A few more from the text line. Terry from Green Bay writes in, Vern, the story of the game is Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Angel Zerpa. Inning in a third, 5 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks. Blew a golden opportunity tonight. Terry, always nice hearing from you. To me, Michael Garcia blew the golden opportunity. Because somehow, Chris Stratton didn't walk the first batter that he faced. What he got was his inning-ending double play. And one of the finest defensive third basemen in the game, for a split second, fumbled it. And still almost made the play. He was safe by a hair. And to me, that hair cost you the game. And I hope Mike Kell's at third tomorrow. I don't know about Chris Stratton, but Stratton, Zerpa, Will Smith, that wasn't the issue. You've been led all year by your defense. I needed them to lead again tonight. They couldn't. Blake Schneiders did a great job back at the studio tonight. I appreciate his hard work. We got to get out of here. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 o'clock for the On Deck Show. Kansas City, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your night. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Past Pacino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.